Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, four lines down. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Hoshaya. This is an independent statement, but the statement's going to become a question on what we had established before, which is why exactly is Achuto unique in the fact that the Torah mentions its punishment of Karet. We have a general pasuk that tells us that all the Arayot are Chayav B'Karet, and then we have a specific onesh that is mentioned by Achuto of Karet. So Lama Yatzat discussed yesterday, there's a machloket between Rabbi Yitzchak and the Chachamim, exactly what we do with that extra choto. But generally, the principle is lechalek. Number one, to tell us that each individual chiyuv karet has a separate chatat with it. And number two, is that when it comes to a guf echad in shemot harbeh, if you have a single individual that carries many chataim with them, example here in the Gemara was someone who was Achoto, Achotimo, and Achot Aviv all at the same time, you'll be Chayav for three, even though it's only one goof, it's only one individual that's carrying all those three Averot at once. So now, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Hoshaya, Kol Makom Shata Motzei Bet Lavim, Vikaret Echad. If you find a case where there are two separate Isurim, but when it comes to the punishment is together with a single karet. Alachlok chatat b'nehem. You should be cholek chatat b'nehem. You should split the chatat between them, meaning that each one gets its own individual chatat. Umayhi. What's an example of such a case? Mifateim v'sach. Case of shemen ha-mishcha. We mentioned yesterday two of the kretot that we mentioned yesterday. One was ha-mifateim et ha-shemen. Hamishcha ve'asach et shemen hamishcha. Someone who makes the shemen hamishcha with the same ingredients that Moshe Rabbeinu did, or someone who takes the shemen hamishcha of Moshe Rabbeinu and puts it onto a zar. Now, in the Torah, that is laid out as this way: al besar adam lo isach. That's one laugh. Ubamat kunto lo tasu kamo. Second laugh. They're in one pasuk, but two lavim. One is lo isach. Do not anoint a person with such shemen hamishcha. Do not make a shemen mishka with the same ingredients. So that's the isurim. So you have two separate levim. When it comes to the pasuk, that is the punishment, the next pasuk says, ish, asher yikach kamau, v'asher yiten mimenu azar, one who does one of each of these two things, v'nichrat me'amav, you have a chiyuv karet. So in terms of levim, we have two times the Torah says lo. It says lo yisach, and lo tasu kamo. There are two separate levim, yet when it comes to the punishment, it says v'nichrat me'amav. For both of them, it only mentions one karet. So here I have two levim, one karet. What do they do with that? Lechlok et achatat. Say that it's two separate entities. If you're in violation of both of them, you bring two chatot. If that's the case, that the psukim lehat this way, then v'chi me'achar, the levim mechulakim. If it's true that the levim are separate, karet achotot dichtav rachman olamali. What do I need achoto at all? Because we have the same exact setup by arayot. By arayot, I have each individual erva mentioned as a lotase, and then I have a pasuk which is kolalem kol hashei yaseh mikol toivot eile v'nichrutu anifashot osot mikar v'amam. So I would have divided up the arayot into separate chatot, even without the limudim we had yesterday. Even without achoto, I would have separated between them because they are all separate levin and one punishment, the same way that Shemen HaMishcha is. It's like Shemen HaMishcha is two levin, one punishment, and we say they're considered to be two separate entities. So two by the Arayot. So then what do I need Achoto for? Rabbi Yitzchak Yedidle, we'll need a Yitzchak for what he needs it for. And the Rabbanan, Mibailu Lomar, Sheinun Shin Min Adin. And the Rabbanan will need it to teach us that Einun Shin Min Adin. We saw that yesterday. Now what's interesting here, the Gemara yesterday, when describing Achoto, said that they learned one thing out of Achoto, and then they learned a second thing out of Achoto, and we said, oh, there are two Achotos in the Pasuk. And therefore we learned out of the Reisha Achoto, and then the Seifa Achoto. So Yitzchak learned out of the Seifa Achoto, the Chiluk between Shemot. Chiluk between, if you have a single individual that has multiple Shemot, from there Rabbi Yitzchak learned out of the Achoto and the Seifa Dekra. The Rabbanon and the Sefer Dekra, what do they do with the Achoto there? To teach you Einon Shin Min Adin, to teach you that cannot be Me'anesh through a Kal V'chomer, you have to explicitly state Achoto, even though a half-sister was mentioned through the father, a half-sister through the mother, obviously a full-fledged sister then is Chayevet. Nevertheless, the Torah mentions Achoto to teach you Einon Shin Min Adin. So those were the two limudim we learned out of the seifa of that pasuk of the extra achuto. Gemara comes now and says, well, we don't even need the other part of achuto. We don't need the chalek. This idea of splitting up achuto, we don't need from those psukim. Whether they learned it out of Nida, wherever they learned it, we don't need that anymore, because we have this principle of Amar Elazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. Gemara in the end says, okay, we'll just use Achoto for the other limud that each of them had. The other limud of Rabbi Yitzchak is to teach us that when you have multiple Shemot, multiple Avirot on a single individual, you're Chayav in each one of them. According to the Chachamim, the second limud we had about Achoto was Enon Shin Min Adin. Now, the Gemara has the next piece, which is in parentheses. The Rashi over here has an Agah who takes out this and says that Perish Meshubash who? Ya Talmidim. Toim, it's added into the Gemara later by the Talmidim. Toim Adkan Agah. To that Agah, that extra piece, Rashi says that this next piece of the Gemara does not belong. The basic structure of this next piece, which is in parentheses, is okay, but there were two Achotos. We had two Limudim out of the word Achoto. So if you're going to eliminate one of them, which is the Chalek, and you're only going to use it for the second limud, then why do you have the word achoto twice? So that's the nature of this next piece of the Gemara. And the answer being that basically we don't take one of them, achoto, one of those words of achoto, we don't take literally. And when we do take literally, one we say is for the pasuk, urche dekra, one of them is belongs to the pasuk, and the other one is the one that we learned the limud out of. So even though there are two words achoto, we only use one of them for limudim. That's the gist of that piece of the parentheses. I'm going to continue after the parentheses, which is Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Af anan namitanina. Our Mishnah is meduyeket like what we just learned. Because our Mishnah says, Hamifateim et ha-shemen, Hamifateim et ha-ktoret, Vasach b'shemen ha-mishcha. Over there in the Mishnah, in the order, I switched it actually when I put them together. I put Hasach et shemen mishcha and Mefateim et shemen mishcha next to each other. I juxtaposed them in the chart that I put together because they have something to do with each other. Then afterwards, put Mefateim et ha-ktoret. Right now, Rav Nachman Yitzchak makes that point, saying, listen, I don't understand the order of the Mishnah. It says, if you make the Shemen HaMishcha, if you make the Ktoret, and then someone who is Sach, who puts on the Shemen HaMishcha. So, Lama L'Tanyo, Mefateim et ha-ktoret b'mitzah. Why is Mefateim et ha-ktoret between the two statements about Shemen HaMishcha? Lav ha-kamash v'lan. Isn't that coming to teach us, Ma Ktoret, Lav b'fnei atzmo v'chayivim aleha karet? Just like the one who makes the ketoret exactly like Moshe Rabbeinu's ketoret is chayav aleha karet and it's alav bifnei atzma. Afa mifateim shemen v'sach nami. So too mifateim shemen which comes before and sach which comes afterwards. Kevin delav bifnei atzmo. Since each one of them batzma, since they are individual lavin v'chayavin aleha bifnei atzma and each one has a karet. Therefore, they'll be considered to be separate. Well, maybe the logic of the Mishnah is to put the two ptumim together. Mifateim et ha-shemen and mifateim et ha-ktoret, juxtapose them in the Mishnah, because that does make sense. So, nitnu ipuch. Then you should have flipped them around. And the Mishnah should have read this way. The reason that the Mishnah put it out of order is because they wanted to keep the mifateim together. And then you have no proof from our Mishnah to this point. It's not that that didn't maybe true, but you just don't have a proof from our Mishnah to that. So the Gemara says, nitnu ipuch. Then you should put them in reverse the order and wrote, mifateim et ha-ktoret. And then Asach et Shemen HaMishcha. That would have worked a lot better because then you would have kept the Shemen HaMishcha together and the Mefateim would be together as well. The fact that it says Mefateim Shemen, then Mefateim Ktoret, and then Asach et Shemen, that's not a logical order that you would have placed them in the Mishnah. Since it's an illogical order in the Mishnah, we must be Middayek from that the Mishnah is trying to indicate through its order some information to us. Which is, Amai Palgei L'Shemen. So why did it split up the two memrot about Shemen? Lav HaKamashvan, Deish Chiluk Chatot B'nehem Shmamina. Must be because there are separation of Chataot over here, meaning that they're each individual Chataot. They're separate, even though they have one punishment of Karet, because they're two separate Levin, therefore they have classified as two separate Chataot, and that'd be the same true by Arayot, that they would be considered separate because each one has an individual Lav, independent of the single karet that is brought as the punishment. And that would be what would be mechalek between them, not achuto. Alright, now the Gemara wants to know, we said before yesterday that Rabbi Yochanan says, why did they, Tana, give us a number, that there are 36 kretot? That the fact is that you could be in violation of all of them. If a person, Behelam Achat, was in violation of all of them, then he would be chayav 34, 33 kretot. Depends which ones you leave out. Obviously, Pesach and Milah do not have chataot associated with them. And possibly Megadef does not have a chatat associated with it. So if you're in violation of all of them, you'd be chayav 34, 33 chataot. Two of them would have been a Levi or Reid. One of them would be a Seirah, the Avodah Zarah. But that would be the number of korbanot. The Gemara wants to know, how is this possible? Tana ben Michael Choshev. What is the Tana enumerating over here? Tana's enumeration is according to which person that would end up with so many kretot. Ibe Gavre, he's talking about a man, meaning a male, Dala Isha Nirbat. Then it's not possible for the man to be in violation of bestiality of a woman bringing a behema upon her. So then you would be short one number. Ubat Zulachadon, you'd be missing one. Ibe Nesheko Choshev, if it's a woman who is violating all these isurim in the Mishnah, dal minhon, then you have to reverse, take out of the Mishnah, bala zachor, homosexuality, baba beima, and also bestiality. But you're lutarte, you're missing two. So how is it possible to get one individual to encompass all of the kretot in our Mishnah? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Olam Tana Gavrei Kochoshiv. Our Mishnah is based on males, v'toni hochi, and read it this way, habala suchur, we're going to rejigger the Mishnah. We're going to drop bestiality where a woman brings a behemoth upon herself. And then we're going to bifurcate habala zachor, homosexuality. And say that there's two isurim in homosexuality. That's both one who performs and is the active partner, as well as the one who is the passive partner. Rabbi Shmuel found in Sanhedrin, Damar, Chayav Shtayim. When it comes to homosexuality, each individual in the partnership is chayav. V'ha mikdani migadef b'seifa. Wait, one of the items enumerated here is migadef. Omikmina laki Rabbi Akiva. And later on in the perek, we're going to see that's the dat Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Akiva is the author of this Mishnah because he includes migadef in the Mishnah. Unlike the Chachamim who think there is no maaseh here, therefore migadef does not get a korban. So if the Seifa is Rabbi Akiva, then Reisha Nami Rabbi Akiva. So now what do you want to suggest? V'chitim Rabbi Akiva, that the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Akiva. That's how we take care of Migadev. Uber Reisha, Savalak Rabbi Shmuel. And you hold like Rabbi Shmuel that when it comes to homosexuality, there are two violations. There's a violation of the active and passive partner. V'amar Rabbi Abau, Habala Zuchor, V'evi Zuchor Alav, Li Rabbi Shmuel, Demepikle Mitar Tekurai, Rabbi Shmuel learns out of two separate psukim, therefore there are two levim. Meit v'zachar lo tishkav, umelo yeh kadesh mi b'nei Yisrael. There's two isurim, one the lav that comes from et zachar lo tishkav, and then the other one is lo yeh kadesh mi b'nei Yisrael. Chayav shtayim, according to him, you're chayav tashtayim. Al Rabbi Kiva, inu el chayav el achat, demichad kora nafkilei. He learns it out of one pasuk, which is et zachar lo tishkav, Karibe lo tashkiv. The Isur, both to be the active and passive partner in homosexuality, is learned out of the same pasuk, which is Etzachar lo tishkav, which is the active, and Etzachar lo tashkiv, which would be the passive. But since it derives from a single pasuk, one individual cannot be chayav two chataot from that pasuk. A person is a participant, both as the active and passive partner, according to Rabbi Kiva, since it's derived from the same pasuk, he can't be chayav twice. So then you'll have a problem. Rabbi Kiva cannot be the author of the Mishnah if we say that homosexuality ends up with two isurim and megadef is included in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, look, we'll do it this way. Ella, Reisha, Rabbi Shmuel. For sure, the Reisha is Rabbi Shmuel, because that's how you end up with two chataot when it comes to Mishkav Zachor. Umigadev, sever like Rabbi Akiva. We'll do it the other way around. Rabbi Shmuel will hold like Rabbi Akiva by Migadev. The Migadev is considered a Maiseh, and therefore it's included in our Mishnah. It says, Yochi nitnei nami, habala beima, bebi beima lav. If you want to say that Rabbi Shmuel is the author of the Mishnah, then the active and passive partners are chayav when it comes to Mishkav Zachor. Why don't you say the same thing with regards to bestiality? Both the active and passive partner would be chayav when it comes to bestiality, and that would mean that you have two chataot when it comes to bestiality instead of one. So Hamar Abaye, that wouldn't be a problem, because Abaye already told us, Abba Be'ema, Ve'vi Be'ema Alav, someone who was both an active and passive participant in bestiality, Af the Rabbi Shmuel eno chayav el achat. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says by Mishkav Zachor you're chayav two, by Mishkav Be'ema, he says you only chayav achat. כי דיכתיב קרא בגברי כתיב. פסוק אב, לא יהיה קדש מבני ישראל, only is talking about human relations. It's not talking about relations with Ebehema, because as we saw in Masechet Mura already, that's not called Znut. And therefore, it would not be incorporated or included under the pasuk of Lo Yeh Kadesh Mi Bnei Yisrael, because relations with an animal are not classified as Znut or Zona. So that will solve our problem now. You now have the Mishnah encompassing all 34 Chataot that you need, which is that Rabbi Shmuel will be the author, and we'll be talking about a male. So you have to drop the behema that a woman brings upon herself. That you will have to drop from the list because we're talking about a male. And instead, in a place of that, you'll add to the list the active and passive Mechshkav Zachor, which is the position of Rabbi Shmuel. Regards to the Migadev that is included in the Mishnah, which is the position of Rabbi Akiva, we're going to suggest that Rabbi Shmuel holds, like Rabbi Akiva, that he subscribes to Rabbi Akiva's position that Migadev is a Maaseh. And therefore, it's included in the Mishnah, and you would be Chayav HaChatat, and that will solve our problem, how you get 34 out of the 36 Chatot by a single individual. Now, Rabbi Elazar Mishmei de Rav Amar, Tana, Tani, Shloshim V'Shalosh Chatot. Our Tana mentioned 33 Chatot, V'Tani, Shalosh Kretot, the Siyuminu B'Kretot. And then it enumerated three more Kretot, ended off. So now we have, just quickly, the Gemara is going to say this in a second, but you have 36 that are mentioned in the Mishnah. And as before I mentioned, a number of them do not have chatot associated with them. Pesach and Mila, there is no chatat for a shugay. And Migadif, according to the Chachamim, is not included as a chatat. And we saw at the end of the Mishnah. So if that's the case, you end up with, out of the 36, 33 of them bring chatot. And there are additional three that just are chiyuvei kretot without a chiyuv chatat. Tuktani seifa, seif besach umila, the mitzvah to say. Our mitzvah to say, therefore they do not have chatot. Pesach umila, maik tani luhu. Why are pesach umila included? Vitema, the tuye carbon alone. If you say to include a carbon with them, mimaite, they don't bring carbonot. Vatanya, huksha kola torah kulala vadat kochamin. By vadat kochamin, we find a korban. Over there it says, "Dichtiv Torah Chat Iyeh Lachem Leusei Bishkaga," that only those that do action-wise Bishkaga. By Nefesh Asher Taseh Biyad Rama, there it's speaking about Avodah Zarah. Ma Avodat Kochavim Shei Bial Taseh. Just like Avodah Kochim, the demand by the Torah is that you be passive. There's a Lota said, "Do not do this." In order to accomplish what the Torah says, you must be a Shei Bial Taseh. You must be passive. Avko Shei Bial Taseh. So too, only passive responses to a demand by the Torah will require a korban chatat, where you take a maaseh against the Torah. But if the Torah's demand is that you do something, and then instead you are passive, that will not end up in a chatat. Elav shma minav, and then you must conclude that Tana shaloshim v'shalosh chatot, there are 33 chatot, and 36 kretot. Man da abde b'shogeg, there will be 33 chatot for someone who does it b'shogeg. By the Tana, Shalosh Kretot, the Semino the Kretot. And then you have the extra three Kretot, which end off the Mishnah with three more Kretot, which equal 36 Shema Mina. So let's end up with this enumeration in our Mishnah of the 33 plus 3 to get you to the number of Chataot that you need in the Mishnah. Then if you do that, if you say there are 33 Chataot and 3 Kretot, then you solve the problem. Because our question had been, wait, how do you have these 34 chataot with one individual? Because that is the Isha HaNir Bat. We had a problem with the woman who brought an animal upon herself, because that can't be with a single individual, because everything else in the Mishnah relates to a male. So you can never be in violation of all of those chataot. So the first solution we gave was that this is a Fi Rabbi Shmuel, who says that Mishkav Zachor ends up with two Isurim, and will drop Isha by Behema, and then you'll end up with a single individual. Blazer Mishum Rav says there are actually only 33 chatot in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't give us a number with regards to the chatot; it only gives us a number with regards to the kretot. And we know Pesach and Mila are out of bounds there because they're mitzvot taseh. So we can say the same thing with the Isha Nirbat, that she's out of bounds over there as well. Since she's out of bounds, so you'll end up with that you'll have 33 chatot and 3 kretot, and you won't have to worry about it. Meaning that the list is not exhaustive in the sense that every one of these items will end up with a chatat. We already know there are exceptions to that rule. And the exceptions to that rule will also include the Isha Nir Bat. And therefore you could leave the Mishnah intact and still say that it's talking about a male. And even though it's talking about a male, he'll only end up with 33 chatot. That is the answer. There will be 33, not 34, because you drop Pesach Mila and Ha Isha Nir Bat.
So, not even a question. The Mishnah is saying that Jews
Yeah, but we had answered the question before, our minyan alamali. Why is the Mishnah specifically say 36? What's the benefit of telling us 36? Rabbi Yochanan's answer was, if you violate all 36 of them, you'll be chayav, al ko'achat v'achat. Chayav in all of them. We're saying that the number is specific because it wants to tell us this information. And then that's not true, because you can't be in violation of all 36 of them. In the end, Rabbi Ozer B'Shem Rav's answer is somewhat along the lines of what you're saying, is that the number 36 is only about the kreitot. The number of chataot is not 36. The number of chataot is going to be less than that. We know that automatically because Pesach and Mila are not included because they don't have chataot. So if that is the case, then the number or the list is not exhaustive in terms of one person. It'll refer to multiple people. And yes, one person can be in violation of 33, but that's it. The maximum they can be in violation of is 33. And the rest will be like you're saying, like Taryag Mitzvot. It doesn't apply to everybody. One person can be in violation of a lot of these. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Right now, the Gemara moves on. Mechalelet Shabbat. Mechalelet Shabbat was on the Kreitot mentioned in the Mishnah. Amrei Shabbat Mem Chaserchat Chavyan. Why is Shabbat only counted as one in the Mishnah? Shabbat is really 39. And we had the same principle by Shabbat. Why by Shabbat does it mention the 39 Melachot? Because you're in violation of the Melachot and Shabbat, you'll be Chayav 39 Chataot. So there's a possibility that one individual could be Chayav 39 times on Shabbat. So why does the Mishnah only enumerate 36? It should enumerate 74 chataot. The number should be 74 because I'm going to add on an additional 38 for Shabbat. Why is Shabbat only counted as one? So Rabbi Yochanan, Tana Shigigat Shabbat v'zadon milachot. The Mishnah only enumerated this case by Shabbat, which is, this is from Klal Gadol by Shabbat. In the parak Klal Gadol, the Gemara discusses the fact of when are you chayav one chataot for Shabbat and when are you chayav multiple chataot for Shabbat. So the instance where you were chayav one chataot is shigagat Shabbat. You forgot that it was Shabbat. You thought today was Sunday. V'zadon melachot. You know that these melachot are asurot b'Shabbat. You just thought it wasn't Shabbat. In that instance, when you have shigagat Shabbat and zadon melachot, you're only chayav one chataot. So that's what our author of our Mishnah was putting into the Mishnah, D'tanya. We have a braita, heina sheyachat. Because the pasuk says, Vasach me'achat mehena, by the Karban Chatat. And it says me'achat and mehena. The Gemara dashes the extra mem by both of them. And says, what does that mean, me'achat and mehena? Right, the dashes in both directions, which is, sometimes achat, one violation, ends up in hena, ends up in multiple karbanot. And sometimes hena, sometimes multiple violations, ends up in achat in one korban. And that's what we're about to read in the Braita. Heina shiachat. Sometimes there are multiple violations end up in one chatat. Shigigat Shabbat v'zadon melachot. It's a case where he forgets that it's Shabbat. He knows that melachot are asurot on Shabbat. He knows all the melachot he's doing are asurot. He just doesn't think it's Shabbat. So I ask, v'nitnei zadon Shabbat v'shigigat melachot. Why did our Tana pick that? If you pick the other option, which is that he's zadon Shabbat, that he knows today is Shabbat, shigigat melachot. He didn't know that these melachot were asurot, or he forgot these melachot are asurot. The Gemara in Klal Gadol says, if he forgot all 39 melachot asurot, then how does he know it's Shabbat? What distinguishes it as Shabbat? There the Gemara answers, it's Tchumim, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Tchumim, which would be Midoraita, according to Rabbi Akiva, so he remembers the din of Tchumim, which doesn't have a Chiyuv Chatat. It's not one of the 39 melachot. Nevertheless, it's a din Doraita, and that's how he knows it's Shabbat. But he forgets that all the other 39 melachot are Chayavot. In that instance, he brings actually 39 chatot. Titania. This is the other half of what I was describing in the pasuk and the drush of the Braita. Vasam echat meina. Pamim shechayev echat al kulan. Sometimes you chayev one chatat for all your violations. Pamim shechayev al kolachat v'achat. Sometimes you chayev on each individual violation. Achat shiheina. If it's one violation that ends up in multiple manifestations, is Adon Shabbat, where you know today is Shabbat. Shigam melachot. You forgot that these melachot are surot. Why does our Mishnah pick out of this Limud, you have two possibilities. You have one possibility where you chayav 39 chatot, one possibility where you chayav one chatat. And our Mishnah makes a choice to pick the situation or circumstance where there's one chatat. Could have equally chosen the situation in which there are 39 chatot. So my answer is, Tana, our Tana, Shigigat Shabbat, v'zadon melachot adifle. He liked the case where he forgot that it was Shabbat, he thought it was a different day of the week, and he knew it was melachot, is more important to him, demechatat miha lo miftar. Because there, over there, you're not patur from a chatat. So Rashi brings down two possibilities over here, in terms of what the answer is. The one answer is, to teach us the chiddush. The chidush is that even though you're amazed by the malachot, you still can bring a chatat because you had shugiyat shabbat. That is still considered to be a shugig. That was the chidush of our mission to teach you that shugig by shabbat is classified as shigigat to bring a chatat, even though you were zadon by malachot. That's one possibility. The lishna achrina and mishrashi is that it's psikale milto. By the case of shigigat shabbat, when you forget that it's shabbat, then you bring one chatat, no matter what the circumstances are. Whether you're zadon melachot, whether you do the melachot intentionally, or whether you do them b'shugeg, you're going to bring one chatat, because you are a shugeg b'garbei Shabbat. On the other hand, by melachot, if you are zadon b'shabbat, you know it's Shabbat, and then you do shugegat melachot, and then you make a mistake by melachot, there you'd be chayav 39. But, if that same case, you're also shugeg b'shabbat, and shugeg b'melachot, you would not bring 39 chatot, you'd only bring one. So what he's saying is that it's not psikole milta. By the case of shigigat Shabbat, no matter what the other issues are that's surrounded with the melachot, you will always bring one karban chatat. That's not true when you have shigigat melachot. The shigigat melachot are influenced by what your view is of Shabbat. Whether you're a mezid or shigig by Shabbat will influence it, and sometimes you bring one, sometimes you bring 39. So therefore it's not psikole milta. So those are the two possibilities of how the Gemara is answering here, according to Rashi. Either that it's low psikol milta, he picked a case where it's always one chatat, or he picked a case where he thought there was a chiddush, that even though you're mezid by the melachot, because of shigat Shabbat, you still bring one chatat. Even though you actively did the melachot, and that the maaseh should be mezid, nevertheless, because you were shogeg legabe Shabbat, that's enough to say that you bring a korban. So the Gemara says, well, oh, you know what? That turns out interesting because we have the same exact issue by Avodah Zarah. V'chein eta motzei gavei avodat kochavim. Tatani shigavat avodat kochavim is adon avodot. By avodat kochavim we know that there are actually four ways to be in violation of the Yisur Avodah Zarah. And that is that zibuach, kitur, nisminasech, and hishtachavaya. That you bow down, you do nisuch of some sort, you make kater, you do some sort of toret, or zivuach, you do some sort of hakrova. All four of those avodot are by separate violations of avodah zarah, and they come from different limudim. So you should have also, by avodah zarah, had four in the Mishnah. Why do you only have one for avodah zarah in the Mishnah? So the answer is, again, that we have to say the same thing, that we're talking about shigat avodat kochavim v'zadon avodot. You did the avodot, you knew the avodot were asurim, the gabei avodah zarah, but shigavet ochrim, you didn't think this was avodah zarah. Where I says, wait a minute. By Shabbat, I understand how you can have shigigat Shabbat. You forgot today was Shabbat. But how do you have shigigat avodah kochavim, echidami? If you know these avodot are throughout avodah zarah, how do you have a faith? You forgot this was avodah zarah? What does that mean? Ilema, if you think damad bebeit avodah kochavim, he was standing in the beit avodah zarah, he thought he was in shul. He made a mistake, he thought he was in shul. Vishtachaveh, and he bows down. He's not worshiping Avodah Zarah there. He thinks he's in shul. He thinks he's bowing to Hashem. That's not called Avodah Zarah. Vela dechaza and darto. He saw some sort of monument. V'sagilani, he bows down to it. Now, idikabli alei beloa. If he accepts that as a god, barskilo, then he's worshiping Avodah Zarah. Idilokabli beloa, la midehu. If he doesn't accept that a god, bowing down to a monument is not a problem. Elo miavo umiira. He's worshiping up the Avodah Zarah because of Avai Nira, as Rashi points out here. It's Gemara in Sanhedrin there. Me'avat Adam, u'mi'irat Adam. He's worshiping the Avodah Zarah either because he loves an individual or he's fearful of an individual. And therefore he thinks it's mutar to worship Avodah Zarah, me'avah v'ira. So anichal Abayi, that works well going to Abayi, dar me'chayav. That someone who worships Avodah Zarah, me'avah v'ira, is actually chayav. Hello, Rabba Damar Patur. Rabba says if someone worships Avodah Zarah out of Avi Nira, he's actually Patur, Ma'ikul Meimar. Then how are you going to explain the case of Avodah Zarah here that you have Shigigat Avodah Kochavim? Ella Be'omer Mutar. Again, this is lifted straight out of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara brings the same questions over there with regards to the positions of Abai and Rabba. And Rabba's answer is that it's Be'omer Mutar. He thinks that it's Mutar La Avodah Kochavim. I know Shigigat Avodah Kochavim, Shigigat Avodah Dot. He's thinking of it. He doesn't know. He thinks that this is okay to worship Avodah Zarah in this way. He thinks that this is not a problem. Dadban kol kabayim mei rova mei Rav Nachman. When Rav was posing the question to Rav Nachman about shigigat avodat kochavim and shigigat avodot, if you're both a shogeg by worship of Avodah Zarah as well as shogeg by the avodot, the four avodot, you don't know what they are asurim, what's the din? So over there, his question was to, when Rav Bava asked this question of Rav Nachman, he wasn't sure if you only chayev one chatat or two chatat. But he doesn't think over there that you're potu the gamre. When you have shikagat malachot and shikagat avodot, he doesn't think you're potu the gamre. And that would be the case here as well. The case in our Mishnah will be a case of shikagat avodat kochavim with shikagat avodot. For he both doesn't know it's avodat zera, as well as the fact he thinks it's mutar to worship at avodat zera here, as well as the fact that he thinks that these avodot are not problematic. But Papa Amar, Papa suggests, I have a different way. Mishkach la b'tinok shinish ba le ben ovdei kochavim. This is talking about someone who was lost amongst the Ovelot Kochavim, the Yada, the Asira. He knows that Avodah Kochavim is a sur. But this particular Avodah Zarah, he doesn't know is a sur. So he knows of a concept of Avodah Zarah, but he doesn't realize that this particular Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to worship with these four Avodot. So that's another possibility about how we have a case where someone is a Shugig with the Gabei Avodah Zarah. Afilu tema bigadol. Even we're talking about an individual who grew up, kagon the katoi v'hadein kra. Made a mistake about this pasuk, the interpretation of this pasuk. So it's no longer a tinok shenishba, who's lost before he was properly educated with regards to avodah zarah, and therefore he's a shogeg because he knows conceptually about avodah zarah, but he doesn't understand all the details. Here we're going to talk about an individual. This is a gadol already. He knows the issues of avodah zarah, but he made a mistake reading this pasuk in the Torah. Lo tasun iti elohei hesef elohei zav. Don't make gold and silver gods. Sever ki asira yishtachava ala avodat zarah. He thinks that when is it improper to bow down to avodah zarah is the kesef zav. It's only if they're made of gold and silver. Avod mini achrine, if there are other materials, sharia, then it's mutar. That's a classic case of Shigat Avodah Zarah. He thinks that it's mutar here to worship this Avodah Zarah, because Adon Avodot, he knows these four Avodot are problematic, he just thinks it doesn't apply to this Avodah Zarah, which is not made out of gold and silver. We dealt with Shabbat, which we said that the reason that the Tana picked only the case where you're over chatat, one Chatat by Shabbat, is because either there's a Chiddush there or Psikale Milta. Gemara says we have to say the same thing, the Gabei Avodah Zarah, that we're talking about Shigat Avodah Zarah and Zadon Avodot, just like by Shabbat, we were talking about Shigat Shabbat and Zadon Melachot. How do you have a case of Shigat Avodah Kochavim? So we said either according to Abaye, is that he worshipped Me'ava Uira. According to Rava, is where he's Omer Mutar. According to Rav Papa, it's a case of Tinok Shinishba. And the last answer, Vibay Demo, was talking about a case that he's a Gadol, and he made a mistake interpreting the Pasuk. Now, Rav Acha Brei de Ravika is going to go back and give us a totally different answer to this question, which seems like the most likely answer, which is, Racha Brei de Ravika Mishmei de Rabbibi Amar, Tano Shem Shabbat, Veshem Avodat Kochavim Tani. He's not mentioning all the Isurim, all the Chatot by Shabbat, and all the Chatot by Avodah Zarah. He's just telling you, Shabbat has Karet by it. Avodah Zarah has Karet by it. He's only enumerating one because he's just telling you, conceptually, that Shabbat has Kritut, Avodah Zarah has Kritut. He's not going into the details of how many violations by Shabbat, how many violations by Avodah Zarah. Mimai, how do you know this is true? Meriktani, Habal Isha Ubita, that the Mishnah enumerates over there, that person who has in violation of the Erva of Isha Ubita, Vayesh Bito Me'anusato, don't you have the problem of a Bito from a instance of rape? That's also an Isra Arayot, does not mention the Mishnah, Lo Tani Lo. The Mara says, nah, that's not a proof that he left some things out. You would say that subsumed under the problem of Aisha Bita. Therefore, you see that we just give you the headlines, and everything under it is not mentioned. Just like by Baal Aisha Bita, the only thing mentioned is Aisha Bita, not Bito Me'asurato. Where it says that's not a good proof, because Imrei Dichtivin Ktani, Teloktivin Loktani. What's explicit in the Torah, that's mentioned in the Mishnah. What's not explicit in the Torah, which is Bito Me'asurato, Loktani. Vaika Batishto, Uvat Bito, Uvat Bina. Oh, we do have other instances where it's written in the Torah, and nevertheless, the Mishnah left them out. Case of Bat Ishto, his stepdaughter. Case of Bat Bito, a granddaughter, whether it's through a son or a daughter. Dichtiva, they're mentioned explicitly in the Pasuk, Velo Tani, and they're not mentioned in our Mishnah. Ella, what are they? They're subsumed under Shem Isha Vita Tani. It's subsumed under the greater category that's mentioned in our Mishnah, which is Isha Vita. Isha Vita includes all of these items. So even though there are multiple manifestations to get a chatat, nevertheless, he mentioned the primary case, like by Shabbat. He mentioned one, even though there are multiple manifestations. Same thing with Avodah Zarah. Hachanami, Shem Shabbat, Veshem Avodat Kochavim, Ktani. Ravacha, Brei Ravika, Rami, Dilei Adilei. Ravacha, Brei Ravika, now questions Rabibi's position, He brought Rav Yehuda's position that we just said, that we're talking about Shem Shabbat, Shem Avdat Kochavim, and Shem Yishal Vita. And then he asked from another statement of Rabbibi, which is, Mi Amar Rabbibi Barabai Hochi? Does he really say this? Shem Shabbat Ketani, Shem Avdat Ketani Ketani, that we just deal with headlines, major categories, Vayitmar. Hamale Evarei Pnim Bachutz Chayav. Evarei Chutz Bachutz Chayav. So here we're talking about Shchutei Chutz and Male Bachutz over here. This is from the Gemara in Tzvachim. There they have an argument about if a person brings Kodashim that was Shechted Bifnim, and then he brings their Evarim out and is Male them Bachutz. Or he Shechted an animal Bachutz and then puts those Evarim on the Mizbeach Bachutz. Chayav. He's Chayav for both of them. Both, each individually. If he does it, each one separately is Chayav. B'kashle Rabbibi Barabai. Rabbi has a question about this. E-hochi, if you're right about what you're saying, haditznan, our Mishnah here in Kretot, shloshim v'sheish Kretot, but Torah, tzladim v'sheva, you know, they're really 37. When you have male v'chutz, male v'chutz has ika male v'male. There's two different manifestations of male v'chutz. There's male v'chutz after you shekhti v'chutz, and there's male v'chutz after you shekhti bifnim. So my kashale, why is that a question? He uses that as a proof to show you you're not chayav too in that case. If that's the case, why is that a question for him? Nishnei Shem Halak Tony. He should answer the same way that he answers by Shabbat, by Avodah Zarah, Nisha Bita. It's just giving you the primary category. It's giving you a headline. It's not giving you all the manifestations. It's a me dummy. He says it's not comparable. The cases are not comparable. Shabbat, though without going Tani Yaton. Here, the Girsa is a mess. What the word is unclear, but Rashi says it's B'nei Chehon, or B'an Chehon. It means bimekomotehem. It means in their place. Meaning that there is a Mishnah in Shabbat that deals with this. There's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that deals with this. So therefore, begabe kretot, when it came to here by kretot, iria, mashani, so here in kretot, they're brought in as a sidebar, mashani shem Shabbat ktani, shem avodah ktani. Then where we say that it's talking about headlines about Shabbat, headlines about avodah zarah. Gabe halam, ala b'chutz, mitana yoton, b'nei chehon, or b'nei chom, there's not written anywhere else. The Shani Ochi that you can say, there's no Mishnah that enumerates all the violations of Male Bachutz. So over here it should have enumerated them. Over here it should have enumerated them because there's no other locale for them. Since there's no other locale, it should have mentioned them. It didn't mention them. Proof that there's only one violation, not two violations. And that will explain to us the difference about Bibi Be'abaye's opinion, that over here when it comes to Shabbat and Avodah Kochavim, we only have headlines. And he shall be taught the same thing. But when it comes to Hamale Bachutz, that can't be a headline because there's no other Mishnah that addresses the issue, and therefore they should have specified if there was more than one manifestation. So now going back to the beginning of our Gemara, we asked about a case where you have two Lavim and one Karet. Over there we said they're Mechulakim. Rabbi Zeira comes and poses the question the other way around. What happens if they're Bet Kretot? Two punishments mentioned, but Lav Echad, there's only one Lav that's mentioned. So what's the case? If that's what the answer is. I'm like, Shechit v'alak amart? What's your example over here? If your key example here is about Shechita b'chutz and Male b'chutz, Hane Shnei Lavin Yinu. Those are considered two Lavin. The problem is that by Shechit b'chutz, there is no Lav that is mentioned. There's a Lav mentioned by Male b'chutz, which we have from Sefer Devarim, Yisham Lecha Pent Alei Olotecha B'chol Makom Asher Tir'eh. And then we have separate Kretot, when it comes to Shochet Bachutz and Male Bachutz. What we are missing is the Azhara or the Lav for Shochet Bachutz. So that would be the question, that's what the Gemara is assuming now, that Rabbi Yirmiyah's question is of that case, where Shochet Bachutz is missing a Lav. Gemara says, that's not a question. Ilaman Damar Migzer Shava. There's one who says that we learn out of Migzer Shava. Nemer Kan Ava, Venemer Lahalan Ava. Malahan Lo Enash, Elam Kinizir. Avkan Lo Enash, Elam Kinizir. The man the matile behekesh, amar krah sham tale v'sham tase, meke shkita lala, ma'ala lo nash elam kim nizir, av shkita lo nash elam kim nizir. So well, I'll explain this now, which is by shochet b'chutz, there is a lav that comes either through a gzera shava or a hekesh. The gzera shava is from the psukim by Karet, it says, o petach omeid lo hevio, the krib korban Hashem, which is talking about the case of Male b'chutz. And then you have another pasuk later on which says, Asher yale ola uzavach, vel pedach omoe lo yevienu. So there you have male b'chutz. And then you have a case of shchita b'chutz. So in one case, male b'chutz says lo hevio, And in the case of Shkita B'chut, it says Lo Yivi Enu. So Gzeir Shava of Hava Hava. And that Gzeir Shava Hava teaches us that just like Male B'chut has an Onesh Karet and has a Nasara associated with it, so too Shkut Echut that has a Chiyuv Karet associated will also have a Lav associated with it. That's one. Or the other possibility is they learn out of a Hekesh from the Pasuk in Devarim. Pasuk in Devarim says Yishem Lecha Pentaleh Ulotecha B'chom Makom Asher Tireh, which is the Azhara for Male B'chut. And then it continues, Bazuki Makom Ashiv Hashem Be'achad Shvatecha, Sham Taleh Olotecha, V'Sham Taseh Kol Asher Anuchi Mitzavecha. So Sham Taleh is referring to Halal Mizbech, Sham Taseh Asiyah is Shechita. And they are juxtaposing that Pasuk of Sham Taleh Olotecha V'Sham Taseh. So we say there's a hekesh between Halaa, which is Male B'chut, and Asiyah, which is Shechita B'chut. And that Hekesh teaches us, just like B'malei Chutz you have Onesh and Lav, so too when it comes to Asiyah Shechita, just like you have a Karet by Shechita, so too you'll have a Lav by Shechita. But either way, we end up with two Lavin and two Kretot. So your question is not relevant in that case. So he says, back to Rav Zera Dilma, you had the question this way, Bet Mitot V'Lav Echad Kamaret. Maybe you're talking about a case where you have two death sentences and one Lav. Meaning that you have a lav, a single lav that incorporates both of them, but they have separate mitot when it comes to skila, when it comes to their punishment. And now we're speaking out mahi, that's the case of ov v'idoni. That's the case of ov v'idoni. In our Mishnah, only balat ov is mentioned. Bal ov is mentioned, not idoni. But they are found together in a pasuk. It says, al tifnu el ovot v'ele idonim, al tifakshu l'tama behem ani Hashem el keichen. So there you have a lav that includes both of them. Altifnu elavot veleidonim. One lav for both of them. And it comes to the parchment, it says, Ve'i sho isha kiye behem ov o yidoni mot yumatu be'evin yirgmu otam demeyam bam. So you have a chiyuv mita, and there it says, oh, lechalek, between the ov and yidoni, so they have an independent chiyuv mita by skila, one for the ov and one for the yidoni. But ov and yidoni each get a separate punishment. They'll get skila. If you're in violation of both bal ov and yidoni, person will get skila for each one individually. So what's the din of gabei kretot? Amalei da plukta de Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish. This actually turns out to be a machloket Rabbi Yochanan Meish Lakish. The tanu gabei aniskalim. By those that get stoned, balov yidoni. Balov yidoni is mentioned there that a balov and a yidoni each get a punishment of skila. Vikashalan, we have a question. Maishna gabei skilot. Why by skilot in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin does a tanu yidoni? It mentions balov and yidoni. V'gabi kretot, in our Mishnah here in kretot, otani yidoni. It only mentions balov, doesn't mention yidoni. I'm Rabbi Yochanan says, ho'el, u'shteyem balav echad ne'emru. The answer is because they're mentioned as a single lav. Patucha katuv bebalov. And the reason that balov is mentioned is because that's the first one mentioned in the pasuk. It's balov v'yidoni. So since they derive from a single lav, they'll only get one karet. Even though when it comes to their punishment in Sanhedrin, the skila they'll get multiple skilot, meaning that if you're in violation of balov or yidoni, you'll get skila. If you're chayav in both of them, you would be technically chayav skila twice over. So even though they're looked at as individuals with regards to skila, with regards to kretot and the lav that you're in violation here, if you have to bring a korban chatat, they're only viewed as a single lav. The reason being that in their lav, in their lota said they were mentioned together. In their punishment, they're separated. So when it comes to the punishment of skila, they'll be considered separate, and therefore it's mentioned in the Mishnah balov yidoni. By kretot, since the violation of both of them will only manifest in one khatat, therefore over here we only mention one of them, balov or yidoni. We mentioned women, and Rabbi Yochanan says the reason we mentioned balov is because that's the first one mentioned in the pasuk. En ochanam, you could have mentioned yidoni, but you just mentioned one of them because even if you violate both of them, you're only chayav once. Rish Lakish says, ho vein bo masa. Yidoni has no maisa involved with it. Balov is someone who puts some sort of bone or something under his armpit, and then raises up voices through his armpit. Over there he has to be active, move his arms, clap his hands, do something to bring out the voices. The yidoni is someone who puts a bone in his mouth, and through that bone it creates speech, or having people speak to you. Over there's no masa, just stick the bone in the mouth and that's it. Everything happens afterwards, there's no masa involved. So therefore, Rabbi Shlokesh says, Balov is mentioned in our Mishnah because it involves a masa. Yidoni is not mentioned in our Mishnah because it has no masa. Rabbi Shlokesh, my time alone, Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't Rabbi Shlokesh give Rabbi Yochanan's answer? Amar Papa, ha chulukin ein bemitot. Because Rabbi Shlokesh doesn't think Rabbi Yochanan's right. He says, the fact by skila, they're considered to be separate entities. So too, by kretot, they should be separate entities. They should be separate lavin, separate chatot. So here's your machloka that Rabbi Zeir is indicating to Rabbi Yirmiyah between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Whether when you have one lav and multiple manifestations of the mitah, what's the din? Rabbi Zeir said to him, Rabbi Yochanan says it's one. They're considered to be one entity because of the single lav. Reish Lakish thinks that they're two because the mitot are separate. And Reish Lakish in the end says you only chayab one because of a technicality, which is that Idoni just doesn't have a maser involved. That's why it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lecha, and Rabbi Yochanan will respond to that criticism of Reish Lakish. Chaluka de lav, havi chaluka. Splitting of a lav is a split. Chaluka de mita, lo havi chaluka. The splitting of the punishment of skila is not sufficient to consider these two items. Rabbi Yochanan, my time alo mark Reish Lakish. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan subscribe to the position of Reish Lakish? Kasavar man tana kretot. He says, who's the author of our Mishnah? It's Rabbi Akiva. Da'amar lo beinin masa. That you don't need a masa. The fact that migadeif is mentioned in our Mishnah means that it's according to Rabbi Akiva who thinks you don't need a masa for the chatat because the chachamim who disagree at the end of Mishnah say migadeif is left out. So must be Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah. And therefore, masa is not a demand over here in our Mishnah. If that's the case, Yidoni should have been included. Rabbi Shlokish, as Rabbi Shlokish responds to criticism of Yochanan, he, Rabbi Akiva lo ba masa rabo, masa zuta boy. According to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Akiva doesn't require a full-fledged maaseh, but he requires some maaseh. Balov my maaseh itbe. By Balov, what's the maaseh? Hakashad zro tov. He has to either clap his hands, flap his wings, whatever he has to do to get this voice to come out of his armpit. So that's Havai maaseh. Migadeif ma maaseh. Now you're suggesting that Rabbi Akiva does require some maaseh. So Migadeif has a good mission of what maaseh is there. Itbe akimat sfatav avi maaseh. The moving of his lips. For Migadeif, that's considered to be a maaseh. So since you have a small type of maaseh over here by Baba Ov and by Migadeif, that's why Rabbi Akiva is wanting to include him in the Mishnah, in the list of the Mishnah. Idoni, which has no maaseh whatsoever, over there, that's not going to be included in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks, Kasaka datcha, hakashat zrota avi maaseh zuta, afilu rabbanan. When we say that clapping of your hands or flapping of your arms, whatever it is that brings up this voice through your armpit, that that's classified as a maaseh, we were thinking, when Reish Lakish said this, that it's not only a maaseh for Rabbi Akiva, it's even a maaseh for the Rabbanan. So when I says, Meitve, can you really say that? But what is the right? You only chayav something that has action, kagon. Shizibeach, vikiter, v'nisech, v'ishtachaveh. V'kasho, lan, ishtachaveh. Late by maaseh. What about ishtachaveh, bowing down? That has no maaseh involved with it. V'amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish answered, ha'mani Rabbi Akiva. That's authored by Rabbi Akiva, who says you don't need Amar lo bein maase, you don't need an action. Rabbi Yochanan Amar afilu teimer Rabbanan. Yochanan says that even the Rabbanan can be included here. Kifat komato b'maase. When you bow down, the moving of your body is considered a maase. Michlal. From this you can conclude, or you can infer, to severely the Reish Lakish, to leave the Rabbanan, kifat komato Rabbanan lo bein maase. According to Reish Lakish, bowing down is not enough of a maase. So if he thinks that bowing down is not considered a maaseh, hakashat zrotav avi maaseh, then you're going to say by clapping his hands or moving his arms, that's considered a maaseh. Ela ki kamar Reish Lakish hakashat zrotav avi maaseh, zuta, when Reish Lakish says that hakashat zrotav is classified as a maaseh or a small maaseh, that's a libid Rabbi Akiva. That's only in Shida Rabbi Akiva. Kol Rabbanan lo b'maaseh. According to Rabbanan, that's not sufficient to be a maaseh. Bowing down is not sufficient to be a maaseh, according to Reish Lakish. And certainly, clapping your hands or flapping your arms is not going to be considered a maaseh. According to Reish Lakish now, at the end of the Mishnah, it says, Migadeif is excluded from the list, because ain't bo maaseh. Nidne yatsa migadeif ubal ov. Why don't we say here that it's a case where we left out migadeif and bal ov, because bal ov is also left out according to Chachamim, because it's not a maaseh. My answer is, can I give you one out of two examples? Gave you had a choice, I'm going to say we accepted bal ov or migadeif from the Mishnah, because neither of them have a maaseh. The answer is that we gave one example of the two. It says, Lidnei Balov, Falo Lidnei Migadeif. Why'd you pick Migadeif? Why didn't you pick Balov? Migadeif, it's Trichole. Migadeif is a bigger Kiddush. Salka dat chamin ol v'ktib b'karet dilei b'makom karban. The Parsha and Shlach that deals with Migadeif, in that same locale, is Avodah Zarah and Chatat b'shogeg. And over there, Daimel Chatat b'shogeg, it says Ma'aseh, an action. So over there, we would think Migadeif is included in that partial of action, and it's classified as an action. Maybe the Chachamim would agree to Akiva, Migadeif is considered a Ma'aseh, Mashmalan Delo. So that's the Chiddush that we have. Ulo Amar, Balov Diktani, B'makader L'Shid. Our Mishnah, when it talks about Balov, this is in classic case of Balov. Right? It's a case of Balover's Mikata L'Shade, where it's actually Makriv, a Korban. Over here, the Gemara says to a Shade, Rashi says to a Sar, the Sarim Shel L'Shade, to the minister of all the Shadim. And that's why there's a Maisa over here. It's a Maisa in the Mishnah, because Balover's actually, there's activity involved, a significant activity, and significant enough both for the Chachamim and for Rabbi Akiva, and that's why it's mentioned in the Mishnah. That's why it says at the end, Yatzah Megadev, because that's the only exception. Balov, even according to the Chachamim, is considered a Maisa, because Balov in our Mishnah is not in a case where he's Maktir on the Mizbeach to a Shade. Matkifla Ro'abo, Imkein Hainu Abadat Kochavim. If you Maktir the Shadim, that's Avodah Zarah. We already mentioned Avodah Zarah in the Mishnah. Elo Amarapo, Mikater the Shade, Amanat the Chabro. It's a case here where you Maktir the Shade in order to placate him, to appease him. You're not worshipping him, you're just doing it as an appeasement of some sort. The word Chaver or Chover Chaver comes to charm him. So here you're also trying to charm the Shade. Amalei Abai, Im Kain, Hainu Chover Chover. Then you're in violation of the Isra Natura of Chover Chover, which is only an Isra Lav, does not involve Skila. Amalei Torah Amra Chover Chover, Kagon Zeb Skila. Says no. A Chover Chover in this manifestation is Chayav Skila. Velo Chover Chover de Balav Hadeinu, then or Hadeinu, which is the Chover Chover that you're only in violation of Balav. If this is the one you're Chayav Skila for, where's the one that you're violation of Chover Chover and you're only in violation of Balav? Amalei Kedetanyo. Like we have in a Brayta, Chover Chover, Echad Chover Gadol, Echad Chover Kadan. A Chover Chover is someone who charms, whether he charms large animals or charms small animals. And even if he tames or charms snakes and scorpions together to have them live together comfortably, Chayav. Amar Abaye, Had Man Debay the Mitzmah Zibor of Akrava Asur. One who wants to. The word semed over here comes means to join together. Now, according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, the tzmad over here means to have them attack each other, to have the wasp and the scorpions attack each other and kill each other. You're going to charm them so that they do that. Or, according to Rashi, the mitzmad could mean that just to live together, to be calm and together. If you want to do that, even by a wasp and scorpion, having them together is a sur. V'ika'atu batrei shori. If they're chasing him in particular, then he's allowed to do it. Now, if it's just for the public good, he's trying to charm them, that's not allowed. But if they're specifically after him and endangering him, then he can charm them. Tosafot over here asks, I don't understand the question, and that leaves it as a tzarechiyun. If he's besivkana, of course he can do this, because it's not one of the mitzvot, yereg v'yavar. On the other hand, if it's not a sakana, then why is he permitted to do it? Why are you permitted to violate a lav shibat Torah and for sakana? If it's not, sakanat nifashot. Now, l'rab Yochanan, demar kifat komoto avimaseh, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, according to the Chachamim, bowing down is a maseh. Akimat svatav nehavi maseh, gavi megadev. Then why do the Chachamim think the moving and the quivering of your lips by Megadev is enough of a maseh? And according to the Chachamim, why in our mission they say Megadev is excluded because it's not a maseh? Amar Rabba, shiny Megadev. Hoel, v'yeshno belev. It's an unbelievable statement here that the Isser of Megadev is really violated belief. This is like what Rav Soloveitchik said many times. There's a Maisa Mitzvah, and there's a Kiyum Belev. But sometimes the action of the Mitzvah is not the Mitzvah itself. The Kiyum Belev is what makes the Kiyum a Mitzvah. So too over here. There's a Maisa Aveira here, which is the speaking, the articulation. But the Kiyum Aveira is in the Lev. When one wants to be Mevarechet Hashem, it's what he feels inside, that's the problem. Articulation of that is simply a way to articulate whatever he already has inside of him. Now Rashi says, what does that mean? V'yeshno belev, he gives two explanations. So either ikur yisroot alui b'ro'a libo, the yisroot that is really derives from the badness or the evilness of his heart. The other place that he says, goyon hoyo v'yeshno belev, ikar yisroot v'machshevet alev, ein kamasa. That the primary violation is in what he thinks. The articulation is not the Aveira. The articulation is just bringing to the forefront the Aveira that has been committed. So that'll be the Maisa Aveira versus the Kiyum Aveira, which is belief. And therefore the Maisa by Megadev is not this. If that's true, that means that's unique to Megadev. That means in any other location, the Dibor, the speech, the articulation is considered a violation of the Aveira, not just the Maisa Aveira. So Meitei Rab Zeiro, Yatzu Edim Zomrim, Shein Bo Maaseh. By Edim Zomrim, we say that they are not included because they do not have a Maisa. V'amai Alpi K'tiv Ben. It says Alpi, that they have to speak. The Edim Zomrim have to articulate their Edut. Samarabo Shaini Edim Zomrim Obi Eshlan Biriya. This is a very important statement, is when is Edut, Edut? When you become witnesses, what does it mean to be a witness?
Does being a witness actually means that you see the event, and that's why you're a witness? Or is being a witness when you actually testify to what you saw? What Rav is suggesting over here is that you're a witness because you saw it, you witnessed it. When you come to Beit Din to tell us, that's just articulation of what you saw, of the Edut that you already witnessed. And therefore, Edut is not about your articulation, rather Edut is simply about witnessing the event. When you come to articulate that after the fact, that's simply telling us what you saw. But the testimony, you became an aid when you witnessed it. And this does have, it's a machloket vishonim about this, and it has major nafkamino, the gabbai things like weddings and so on and so forth, where people are innocent bystanders, but they are witnessing the event, like Krovim. They are relatives, they are witnessing the marriage. Now, can they say that they're not witnesses? Well, it depends when you think a person becomes a witness. If they're witness only when they testify, or when they are involved in process, then fine. But if you think that witnesses become witnesses by simply witnessing an event, over here they're witnessing the event, and maybe they're edim, and they can be posel the kedushin. And that's why our practice is to be miyached edim. When it comes to the case of marriage, we specify the edim to the exclusion of all others. We say others cannot become witnesses over here because of this issue, that edim can become edim even without intent to become edim. As long as they witness the event, they can become edim, because they would otherwise be witnesses. The other point we can make is that by kiddushin it might be different than other things. By kiddushin, the ikar edut is witnessing the event, not actually testifying about the event. Whereas by edut, like by edim zomimim, the ikar is actually testifying in court, not witnessing the event. So it might be that kiddushin is a unique status where people by default are witnesses, versus other places like edim zomimim, where they're not default witnesses, they'll have to articulate, they'll have to go to Beit Din in order to become witnesses, because the ikar is to testify, not to witness. Whereas by kiddushin, the ikar is to witness, not to testify. And therefore, for the reason that we exclude edim by kiddushin may not have anything to do with this, might be particular to kiddushin, not globally to Edut. Again, that's a machloket rishonim, but interesting to note, at least one side over here with the Gabay, the statement of Rava, but we changed the gears here to Rabba, of Rabba with regards to Edim Zomimim. Okay, we'll stop over here.